And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, once again we praise you and we ask you to speak to our hearts and help us to understand how the first characters in the first Christmas behaved and what we can learn in this Christmas season. Talk to us, speak to us through your words. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What would be the most desired job position in the world? And what would be the professional qualifications for that position? Factors like average salaries, tax-free earnings, and desirable lifestyle primarily drive the most competitive markets in the world. According to resume.io's report, the top city with the most competitive job markets are, first, Dubai. I don't know if anybody is planning to move to Dubai. But Dubai takes the top spot with an average of 285 applicants per LinkedIn job ad. Secondly, San Jose in California has the most competitive job market in the U.S. with 153 applicants per job position. And thirdly, Abu Dhabi with 84 applications. Due to the fantastic job offers, resumes should pile up. But when we look to the Bible, we can say that any honest job in the world is a God-given mission, not just the most desirable. And what would be the most extraordinary mission a human being could receive throughout history? What would be the requirements for that? This morning, we will listen to the answers for those questions. Just coming back to the Christmas characters and how they behaved in the first Christmas. We should reaffirm that Christmas is undoubtedly the most celebrated of all holidays in the world. And other holidays honor famous people or celebrate essential dates. But Christmas is the only one that honors a divine person. It does not commemorate a human achievement. Probably, Santa Claus decorates shopping malls, companies, and family gatherings. However, this is different of the real meaning of Christmas. Those who celebrate the true Christmas in December do so, remembering the profound reality of God, who sent his only begotten Son to die for all those who believe in him and have hope in him. Our second sermon in our Christmas preaching series will meditate on the first Christmas experience in the life of the human being most impacted by the angel's announcement. This was a Jewish teenager. We're going to listen God's voice and just understand how Mary, the mother of Jesus, received the most honorable mission a human being could receive. And in saying that, the name Mary has 20 different variations around the planet. And it is the most used name here in the U.S. We have around 4 million Marys. Do we have any Mary in the sanctuary, in the English service? No, we had 4 in the Portuguese service. It is the most used name in Brazil. We have around 12 million Marys. And it is Maria in Portuguese. So, the name of Mary was mentioned 51 times in the New Testament. And undoubtedly, she's the best well-known woman in the Bible. And after Jesus' birth, she is the most well-known woman in history. But the manifestation of the angel Gabriel to Zechariah, you remember? The father of John the Baptist broke 400 years of silence. During 400 years, God didn't say anything. After Malachi, he broke the silence with Zechariah. And 6 months later, the angel Gabriel appeared again. Not in Jerusalem, where Zechariah was, the capital city or the main religious city in Israel. But God manifested himself through the angel in a small town in Galilee called Nazareth. It was a small village with a few hundred people around 100 miles north of Jerusalem. This village was so insignificant, church, that it was not mentioned in the Old Testament. It was a small village, and accordingly with Flavio Josephus, it's a Jewish historian, no main trade route could pass through Nazareth. So it was in the middle of nowhere up north. And to make things worse, Galilee was a region of prejudices. Even the Jews didn't like Galilee because there were many Gentiles living there. So it was a place of mixed Jews. But in God's sovereign plan, he decided to visit a teenager to bring a great mission and to teach us special truths regarding Christmas. So what does the advent of Christmas reveal to us in Mary's life? First, it presents us with the gracious pattern of God's choice. To a virgin betrothed to a man of the house of David, whose name was Joseph and the virgin's name was Mary. Note that the angelic announcement of the birth of the John the Baptist came to an elderly priest in Jerusalem. Still, the announcement of the miraculous birth of Jesus went to a teenager girl in a small, insignificant village. She's described first and foremost as a virgin. That is, she had no intimate contact with any man before the birth of Christ. And in the Jewish culture, it was common the teenagers around 13, 14 years old just be engaged. And during 1 year, they could not have any sexual contact or intimacy, but just preparing themselves to the wedding ceremony, wedding feast. In that period, the virgin should prove her fidelity, and the man would provide everything to find a home to his future wife. But it was so serious that for any reason, the relationship or the engagement could be broken. It was considered, in some cases, a divorce. In that very moment, the teenager Mary around 14 years old, received a visit from God's angel. She was engaged to a simple carpenter named Joseph, a descendant of the great King David, from whose lineage the Messiah was to come according to the prophecies of the Old Testament, as stated in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you. You shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. So note the genealogy of Christ described by Matthew shows his ancestors on Joseph's side, showing his legal right to reign upon Israel. When Luke describes, it shows from Mary. But as Jesus was adopted by Joseph, he had the legal right to reign upon Israel. Luke only says that the virgin's name was Mary. This differs from what was done in Zechariah and Elizabeth a few verses before. It's interesting because with Zechariah and Elizabeth, the author mentions they were righteous and they lived a godly life before God. But when Luke mentions Mary, it is said just she was a virgin and her name was Mary. Of course, when you read verses 45 through 55, we can see that she had a righteous life and she was obedient to the Lord. She was a godly young lady. But it seems God is just protecting his people's heart not to worship Mary and give her extraordinary honor. And she was equal to any other godly teenager at the time. But in a small village, in a simple family, the Lord decided to choose a young lady to fulfill the greatest mission any woman could fulfill in this world. Motherhood is one of the greatest privileges any woman can enjoy. No other relationship can bring the experience of greater unconditional life for a lifetime than motherhood. And when we look at God's choice of the mother of the Son of God, the creator of the universe, God uses the same criteria of every single person he chose in the Bible. It was out of his grace, like Abraham, Moses, Hannah, and now Mary. God decided to choose them not because they came from an outstanding family, because they came from a wealthy place, but no, out of his sovereign grace, undeserved favor, he chose a young teenager from a simple place. And this is what happened with anybody who serves the Lord. As the Apostle Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, quote, "For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." In the same way he chose Mary, he chose us. Regardless our background, regardless our family stories, of joys and sadness, of victories or brokenness, he decided to choose you and me to fulfill his will. And secondly, we notice through the experience of Mary in the first Christmas that God manifests the divine gracious blessings upon those he chooses. If you take a look in verse 28, the phrase, "the angel came to her," shows that Mary was probably at home and alone. It would seem from the expression "as you enter," like a friend or a relative joins the house, the angel friendly comes and greets Mary, as we read, "highly favored." This is how we read in the NIV version. And in the Latin version, the Vulgate, Jerome translated, "gratia plena." It means full of grace. With this translation, the Roman Catholic Church misinterprets the expression of gratia plena, or full of grace. Throughout history, they understood that Mary was an instrument of the grace of God upon the church. Pope Pius X, in his encyclical, Ad Demi Illum, in a bizarre interpretation, he says, quote, "Mary was not the recipient of God's grace, but rather the dispenser of all the blessings that Christ won for us on the cross of Calvary." And Pope Leo XII agreed, and he said, quote, "Mary is the means through which the immense treasure of mercy won by God for our sake is distributed to us." However, church, we can say that in the first Christmas, Mary is an example of God's grace, how he sovereignly chooses a person and also grant blessings upon that person or any child, not because we deserve, not because we have good deeds and many qualities that God is impressed by. No, it's just out of this undeserved favor. And whenever we receive God's grace, we can share the blessings with the people we are living and sharing lives. But we are not mediators of God's grace. Nobody but Jesus. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, quote, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." Mary understood herself as a sinner, as all men are, according to Romans 3, verse 23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's the reason Mary was greatly troubled by the angel's words. Even friendly, she was afraid with the powerful and glorious manifestation. But the good news are, she was blessed. The grace of God was upon her life to fulfill the mission and the duty. In the same way, God chose us to belong to him, and we became his children. And not just during Christmas season, but every single day of our lives, the grace of God is just displayed upon us. In the great moments, the moments of victories and celebrations, but also in the sad days, during the troubled times, we should be aware the grace of God is always with us, and we are full of grace to fulfill His calling in this broken world. When we feel good and when we do not feel good. When we are afraid of what is happening around us. God chose Mary for the most noble mission a woman could have in the redeeming work of Christ upon creation. When you think about your mission in life, what you are doing now, where you are doing in fulfilling your call, we can say, I'm not Mary. How can I know the grace of God is upon me and I'm blessed like she was, as she had the mission just to carry in her womb the Son of God and breastfeeding Him? Well, one woman in the days of Jesus had the same thinking. And we read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. Quote, blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, church, if we are disciples of Christ, we are blessed and have the most honorable role in this Christmas Advent as Christ's kingdom's agent. If you are serving the Lord with the right meaning of Christmas, as Mary was blessed, so we are. Finally, the first Christmas announces the character and mission of the gracious divine baby. The arrangement through the verses 31 and 33, we can see a sort of series in four lines pointing to the mission of the baby. It was not just a gift from God to Mary and mother of she rejoiced in the newborn baby. The angel said his name would be Jesus, which means Savior. He would be the Son of the Most High, and he would be great. Thirdly, the Son would receive the throne of his father David. He would be King of Israel and of the world. And finally, his kingdom would never have an end. Note the similarity between this verse and Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Here again, as is usually the case, the expression, behold, introduces a startling statement. Mary, the virgin, is about to conceive and give birth to a son. She is the one who will name the child, and he would be the Son of the Highest. It comes from the Greek word hupsitos, the equivalent in the Old Testament for El Elyon, the name, one of the names given to the Almighty God. So in the announcement, the angel was showing to Mary that her son would be not just the Son of God, but God Himself and the Savior of the universe. The eternal reign of Christ was about to be manifested in time through His supernatural incarnation to legally conquer the kingdom for His subjects through His life, pain, and suffering. This is the greatest miracle humanity ever have seen. The incarnation of Christ is what made salvation possible. In a plural world where people tell you, oh, this is Christmas, but there are many different ways to relate to God. You can seek God through other religions because God is love and merciful. That's not true. The message of Christmas and what we see in Mary's experience is God, in a sovereign way, chose his people. God is blessing his people to fulfill the mission of the Messiah. And now God is showing that this Savior is the only way to heaven. Mary understands the mission. The incarnation of Christ is the greatest miracle, as the Puritan Thomas Goodwin said, when the Son became flesh, heaven and earth met and kissed each other, namely God and man. The incarnation of Christ made theology possible, made a relationship with God possible. Salvation is made possible because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As C.S. Lewis, in his book, Miracles, he says that there is no greater miracle. And one of the chapters has this title, The Great Miracle on the Incarnation of Christ. Mary could understand that the graceful baby was the sublime purpose of God to save the world, and she should carry, nurturing him and teaching him how to walk until the time he would start his ministry and bring salvation to the world. We are not in any fancy Jerusalem like Mary was not at that time. We are living our simple lives with our jobs, maybe far away of what we've dreamed when we were younger, but regardless our job positions, the place where we are living was established by God in a sovereign way. And as the Galilee was full of Gentiles, we are living in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area, with people from everywhere. For sure there are safer places to live, cheaper places to live, maybe more comfortable places, but as God in a sovereign way decided to manifest his Son in the world, in a place full of Gentiles, God in a sovereign way decided to put the people he chose for him in Philadelphia or in Huntington Valley in this area, full of Gentiles, people who don't know the gospel, people who think Christmas is just a party time to celebrate the end of the year and gathering together with family, and we have the greatest message. A son was born from a virgin. He is the savior of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no salvation apart of him. This message transformed Galilee, Judea, Israel, spread it to the world and came here. And one day, this message transformed our lives. At the beginning of this message, I mentioned the place in the world where the number of applications for job positions is highest. And we spoke about the high criteria for those job positions. Today, some of us are neither in the place nor working the position we want. But through God's action in Mary's life, we discover that God sovereignly is using our lives here, in the place where we are studying, working, in the neighborhoods we are living, and we just have to open our hearts and understand his grace in our calling. If we have already participated Maybe in the first end of year celebrations filled with good wines and the best dishes of our cuisine, celebrating the success of all kinds of missions each of us has in life, let's not forget to share the real reason and meaning of Christmas. Let's not forget that we are living today not just to make a life, but to bring redemption and salvation to the world. As is prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Mary graciously received the mission of carrying the babe Jesus in her womb, and we graciously carry him in our hearts. She brought him into the world. We must announce him to the world. Let us pray and ask to the Lord, "Lord, as that teenager understood your calling and left a godly example of obedience to be instruments of your kingdom, help us. Heavenly Father, we put our hearts before you. We raise our hearts before you, understanding that you are blessing us with uncountable blessings. But many times we forget to share the real meaning of Christmas. Many times we forget to spread this message that he came to deliver his people from their sins. Help us, Lord, to reach the lost. Help us, Lord, to understand that all the difficult people living around us with broken hearts are our mission field. And we should announce the real Christmas and just watch what your Holy Spirit can do, changing lives and transforming hearts. Help your church, help any of us, all of us, to be instruments of your grace like Mary was. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.